Hi, I'm Mike Martindale, pastor here at the Heights Fellowship. We are so glad that you guys have joined us today. We know that online isn't a replacement for the real thing, but we hope that as you listen to this message, that the Spirit of God would still move in your life. Thank you for listening.
Continue our series this morning, The Domino Effect, and Jim was actually praying for Mike and me this morning, not just Mike. He knew that. God knew that, and so I feel prayed over. But we're going to continue our series. Got two more messages on this series today, and then next week we'll finish that up and then kick off a new series that following week. This what we're going to talk about today is something that's really part of who I am as a believer in Jesus Christ, as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And that's the idea of multiplication. You know, all these things that we've been talking about for the last several weeks, Bible reading, Bible study, prayer, worship, giving, scripture memory, sharing your faith with other people, are all part of what it looks like to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Addition, adding, impacts the present. Multiplication impacts the future because it goes on for generation and generation and generation. You know, somebody can come to know Christ today and become a disciple of Jesus Christ today, but unless they continue to multiply that, to take that to someone else who takes that to someone else who takes that to someone else as they begin taking it to someone else. And you see the numbers grow innumerably because of the idea of multiplication, not just addition. A disciple, what is a disciple? A disciple is someone who follows another person or another way of life and who submits himself to the discipline and the teaching of that leader or way. That's what a disciple is. There's some key words I got to underline there. You have to follow. To be a disciple of someone or something, you have to follow that. That means you have to adhere to it. You have to subscribe to that. You have to obey that to become a disciple of something. You have to submit yourself to the discipline of that, whatever that might be, and the teaching of that leader. Now, here's some illustrations of disciples. Moonies. They follow a guy by the name Tonson Moon. Mormons follow their prophet and general authorities. Evolutionists follow Darwin, Carl Sagan, and the teachers of evolution. Muslims, they follow the Quran and the teachings of Muhammad. Now, Dukies, they follow the teaching of coaching of Coach K. Those of you who get that, come often to hear messages here. Jehovah Witnesses, they follow the teachings of Russell Taylor and their leaders in Brooklyn, New York. Christians, we follow Jesus Christ. And I put a question mark there because a lot of times, are we really disciples of Jesus Christ? Or at some point in our life, did we just pray a prayer or we joined a church? Or we got baptized, and we said, I'm good, I'm a Christian. But see, what we're going to see this morning, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ means you have to adhere to those teachings. You have to obey those teachings. You have to follow after who Jesus Christ is. You have to follow Him, His guide. Just like all of these people I've listed, and we could list a lot more, they follow that person. They do what they tell them to do, what the leader says. Christ began his ministry by calling disciples. And the way he did that, we can actually see that in the life of Peter and Andrew. He said, follow me. Matthew, he said, follow me. Literally, when he called them to be his disciple, they quit what they were doing. They denied themselves their jobs and said, okay, we're going to follow you. And then we see over in Acts 6, 1 and 2, and then 7, all those who were saved were called disciples. Okay? That's what they were called when they came to know the Lord in the early church. They were called disciples. Acts 9, 1, 19, 25, and 26, and 38. Paul is said to have persecuted the disciples of Christ. See, it's not until Acts 11, 26 there that the disciples were known as Christians. That was a name that was created by the world. That's what they called. You people follow Christ. You're little Christ, so we're going to call you Christians. And so we've, you know, all through the years we've adopted that name. There's nothing wrong with that. But what I want you to think about this morning and to process and be challenged with is that what we call Christians should be disciples of Jesus Christ. We should be following after him. The word Christian is only used three times in the New Testament. Only three times. That's a modern word. It's a word that came after what Jesus' desire was. The word disciple or disciples is used 256 times because that's what Jesus saw as those people who were following him were disciples. You're going to follow my teaching. You're going to follow my model. And so I'm kind of setting a foundation for us as we get into, we're going to look at three main passages this morning that have to do with multiplying. Because that's how the church grows. We can add people one by one by one and get there, but it takes a long, long time. Jesus' idea was that all of us, not one of us, but all of us are part of the plan to multiply what his intent was in the church. The point being that believers in Christ were called disciples because they were those who followed Christ. It is unscriptural to teach that a person can be a Christian and not be a disciple. I had a conversation just a week ago with a guy, and we were talking about that, and I set the tone for that, and we were back and forth and trying to understand this idea of what it looks like to follow Christ. But at the essence of what that is, it's being a disciple. It's a following after. It's a denying yourself to truly be who Jesus died for us to be. Luke 6:46, Jesus sharply rebukes those who were incorrectly addressing him as Lord when they were not following him. What he said there was, you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I tell you. He's going, you're not really my disciple. So, how does one become a disciple? Answer is simple. To be a disciple, you must submit yourself to Christ and follow him. Romans 10, 9 and 10 capsulizes that idea. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Okay? That's the beginning of being a disciple. At that moment that you are saved, that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you become a disciple. Now, there's more to it than that. There's more expectation of that. But that's the launching. That's the initiation. You know, sometimes we make that way too easy in our culture. You know, going back to the word, using the word Christian. Well, I'm a Christian. I was born in the United States. You know, I'm a Christian. I go to church. I'm a Christian. My mom and dad were Christians. But see, we're going to see in just a little bit, that's more about relationship. And it's just not our call, our charge as disciples of Jesus Christ is just not about us. That's where it begins, is our relationship with Christ. But we're going to see here in just a, Second, that there's more to it than that. Here's the strategy. Jesus' strategy was a strategy of multiplication, not one of addition. That was his strategy. And we see that happen quickly. How many disciples were following Jesus in Acts 1:15? We see 120 people in that room waiting to receive the power, the Holy Spirit, to go do what God charged them to do. What Jesus challenged them to do, commanded them to do. 120. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, preaches. 3,000 more people become disciples. Okay? That's even more than multiplication. That's a miraculous power of what the Holy Spirit does in lives. But immediately we see that. Now instead of, I mean, you can do the math. We're not going to take the time to figure all this math out that I'm going to talk about today with multiplication. But if you have one person that becomes two people, you know, you spend time with that person, you invest in that person, you disciple them to follow you because you're following Christ. And you did that for a year. It'd take a while. Make a lot of people, but with 120, you can get a lot more people quicker. With 3,120, you get there even quicker if those people are all following after Christ and seeking to take others with them. So the concept that we're going to look at as we talk about multiplication this morning is not that you just be a disciple, but that you be a disciple maker. And we're going to see that in Scripture in just a few minutes. The idea, and this is just a picture, right? Think about it. If you take grains of sand and you just start putting them on a chessboard, by the time you get to that 64th square down at the bottom, the number is almost incalculable on how multiplication works there. And so multiplication is something that energizes all of us because that means it doesn't depend on just on me. It doesn't depend on just on you to get the gospel out to others and multiply them, which grows the church. Which takes it further and further. Our mission statement, as part of our what we're trying to do here at the Heights Fellowship, is to make disciples. Now, in some ways, we do that good. Some ways, we do it better. Some ways, not so good. Because just going, again, I'm not trashing you because I'm talking about me too. But just going to a Bible study doesn't mean you're making disciples. Okay? Just attending a life group doesn't mean you're making disciples. Part of it. We're going to see that. It takes coming together, being in God's Word, having someone guide you through the process. But it's just not those things. Coming to this church service, sitting out there, listening to Mike talk each week. Just that alone doesn't make you a disciple. Coming to a relationship with Jesus Christ, following his obedience, which we're going to see in the next passage, it says, go and make disciples. Very familiar passage. Here's our command. I'm going to read it starting back with verse 16 as that stays on the screen. But this is what that passage says. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Okay, very familiar passage. We call that the Great Commission. Some of Jesus' last words to his, what did it say in verse 16? To his disciples. And as a disciple, his command to them was make disciples. Okay, not just be a disciple. And I think that's where we get off track. Man, I'm having a quiet time. I'm reading my Bible. I'm sharing Christ. I'm giving. I'm studying. And all those things we listed at the beginning of the message that we've been going through the last 7, 8, 9 weeks. But see, Jesus' command was to make disciples. Who was he talking to? He was talking to us who are disciples. Don't just leave this relationship with you. And he goes, he tells us how. What do we do? Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them. That's identification. That's what baptism is. It's identification. It's a public display of a relationship you already have established with him. Do that. Identify them. And then he goes on to say, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them. Okay? Teaching becomes part of the process of making disciples. You say, well, I'm not a teacher. This book has all the information you need to know to help someone be a disciple. Okay? You can count on it. You can use it. And we talked about memorizing several weeks ago. The more you know about what this says, the more you can share with others and help train them and mentor them through the process of being a disciple. I can do that, but I can't reach everybody. There's probably about 200 people in this room. If everyone gets this scriptural truth and it becomes a part of who you are, I mean, the Heights Fellowship can change Lubbock, Texas. Change the world. Jesus did it. He's talking, remember what verse 16 said? 11 guys. We see that there's 120 that show up that night to pray and be there till the Holy Spirit arrives to empower them. See, it doesn't take that many. But we have to do it with more than one. It can't just be the staff of the Heights Fellowship. It can't just be the elders. It can't just be our life group leaders. See, we're all called to be disciples. And, as we just read, to make disciples. So here's the question. Whom are you making a disciple? And I'm going to leave it awkwardly silent just for a second. Who is it? Who are those names? Could be your kids, if you're a parent. Could be a friend at work. Could be a relative. Could be a neighbor. Could be somebody here within the context of this body of believers. But see, to truly answer that question, am I making disciples? There has to be a name attached to that answer. Yeah, I am. I am. I'm doing that. Okay, who? See, when I ask that question of someone, then that changes the question. Well, I'm not sure. So that's what Jesus said. You disciples, and that word go is translated as you be going, as you live your life, as you go to work, as you go to school, wherever you find yourself, see? You're constantly sensitive to somebody crossing your path that allows you to say, hey, I want to help you be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And that may be that they don't know Jesus. And so that's how you begin. Back to one of our dominoes. You share Christ with them. That maybe is how you begin. My brother works for international students in the Metroplex, with international students in the Metroplex, with an organization called International Students Incorporated. And what he does is try to reach students who come in from other countries to go to school at some of the universities in the Metroplex to try to reach them. What's he doing? He's trying to make them disciples of Jesus Christ, not what they may be currently disciples of. And he's got about 3 or 4 years to do that, depending on how long they're going to stay. So think about that. Write those names down. If you're looking at that sheet going, you know, I don't know if there's anybody that I'm making a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's your challenge. That's where you need to start this morning. Now, to do that, you've got to have a process, I think. And I think 2 Timothy 2:2 states that process for us very simply as an outline. It says, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men or women who will be able to teach others also. All right, you see, four generations of multiplication there. Literally, this is Paul talking to Timothy. Things which you, Timothy, have heard from me, Paul. That's literally what that says. And what does Paul tell Timothy to do with those things you've heard from me? Trust these to faithful men. Somebody else who has decided, I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm going to help you do that. I'm going to walk through the process of you doing that. And then what does that person do? Who will be able to teach others also? So you see four generations there. And at some level, one of us sitting in this room could be a downline member of Paul's family, spiritually speaking. If you could trace it back that far, wouldn't that be cool? I came from a family, a spiritual heritage from Paul to Timothy to faithful men to others, boom, 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 down the way. But see, that's a plan. Simple plan, general plan, but that's how it happens. And it keeps going. And here's the cool thing. Now, when you look at it, when the multiplication really starts working, is that when Paul no longer is spending a lot of time and energy in Timothy, what's Paul done? He's moved on to somebody else. See? He continues to do that through other people besides Timothy. And then what does Timothy do? When he's finished entrusting those things to those faithful men in his church, he moves on to some other faithful men. How does that happen practically? It could happen one-on-one. Paul and Timothy, one-on-one. Jesus and John, one-on-one. But Jesus also spent a lot of time with Peter and James and John, one-on-three. He discipled them too. But he also discipled the 12. One didn't get it. One chose, I don't want to do this. Went a different way. But those 11 got it. And between them and Paul and those other guys and ladies in that upper room that night waiting on the Holy Spirit, they changed the world. But it was all through the idea, the principle, the truth in Scripture of multiplication. But that's how it works. It starts with a me telling a you who's telling others who's telling others. That's how it works for each one of us. Who are your people? What's your plan for making them a disciple of Christ? So you have to think about that. There's a skeleton, there's an outline of a plan in 2 Timothy 2:2. But what's your plan? Because it may look a little different how you actually accomplish that. For me, on a regular, consistent basis, I'm just going to share with you what I do. I meet with guys individually. Guys who have said, I want to follow after Christ. I want to be a disciple maker. I want to do more than just be a church attender. I want to do more than just minister, okay? But I want to make others disciples. And so on a regular, consistent basis, and for me, that's once a week. Once a week. Now, at some point, they may move away. You know, they may get a job and have to go someplace else. So say I don't continue to meet with them on a regular basis. But that's Randy's plan. That's how... One way I accomplish that. All right? Life group leaders. You have a natural little group of followers that you're facilitating, that you're leading. You can help make them disciples. As you meet with 12 of them, maybe you have coffee with two or three of them at a different time in the week. Maybe there's one that you really are zeroing in on that says, man, you know, they're going to make a great leader someday. They're already leading people. Barley acknowledged that, and I want to pour into them. They become one of those faithful men that you identify, or ladies. This is not just men. The language of Scripture says men. But ladies, it works for you too. See? It even works for you students, a college student out there. There may be a high school student that you're just a little further along, more mature in your life of being a disciple than they are. You can pour into them. So there's lots of different avenues. So think about, what is your plan? How are you going to accomplish what Jesus said that all of us are to be doing? Making disciples. See, there's no one excluded. If you are a disciple, then you're not excluded from that command. That includes all of us. We should be pursuing those people. We should get a plan. How are we going to do that? See, and that's where we can be better here at the Heights Fellowship and having a better plan to make sure that happens. That's where we can really be best. It's when there's a lot of people making disciples. And you also have to have a heart for people. Because what I've found in years of making disciple makers is that if I'm not willing to give time and spend time with these people, these guys, it's not going to happen. See, I have to have a heart for them. And what happens in the process, look what Paul told the Thessalonians. He said, but we prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. That's pretty gentle. You know, I didn't bring any pictures of my new granddaughter this time. But she takes nurturing. You got to care for her. And that's what happens in the life of a new believer. You have to help them through. You don't leave a baby out there. Well, Emma, go get your bottle. Go take care of yourself. You know, can't do that. And that's what Paul's saying. This is how we nurtured you as you're growing as disciples in Jesus Christ. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel, okay? That's very important. Not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives. Because you had become very dear to us. I mean, just 3 days ago, one of the guys that I meet with was having some serious issues at home with his wife and in-laws. And I know none of you have those kind of issues. But they were. And we talked about that. And we talked about what does God's word say about how you respond to that. Because this guy was mad. He was pretty ticked at his mother-in-law. I've never known that. I don't know what that means to be mad at your mother-in-law. But he was. I said, well, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, how should you respond? See? He knew intellectually, but what I was able to do is say, okay, hey, let's talk through this. How do you need to respond to this? And see, and that's what Paul's telling them. It's not just with sharing the gospel. Okay, I shared John 3:16, I'm good for the week. No, life happens. And as life happens, it's when you can really make a difference in this person's life. Because you're going to walk through them in this process, with them in this process. And that's when you see them becoming a stronger, more obedient follower of Christ as they take these steps of faith and do what Jesus called them to do. And what really is exciting, okay? It's when you see them begin doing the same thing with other people. That's cool. That's the multiplication picture. That's when this whole process is working. That your time and your effort in the lives of this person and doing life with them, you see them start doing the same thing. And that's when you saw the screen a while ago, that multiplication energizes you. It really does. Man. All I put into the life of that other person, God's honoring that. They're being used to make disciples as well. So, discipleship involves relationship. You can't just say, I'm going to come on Sunday morning, okay? Not much relationship involved in that, just being here. But when you're doing life with somebody, when you're caring for them and nurturing them, like Paul described to the Thessalonians, then you truly make a difference in their lives. And they become disciple makers. So question three is, which established relationship in your life already prompts you to make them disciples of Christ? Okay? Who do you already know? Who are you already witnessing to? Who are you already in life group with? Who are you already in a Bible study with that may need your personal touch? And maybe those that you don't even know yet that just cross your path at work or whatever, and you go, man, I don't know if they know Jesus. That may be where you start with them. See, here's the thing. I don't have enough energy to personally disciple 200 people. I wish I did. See, I can do four or five. But what, one thing I want to challenge you guys to do is start with one. Just one. Because the multiplication kicks in even with one. Don't think you have to start with five or six or seven. Start with one or two. Because you want to be invested in those lives. So, how do I accomplish multiplication? Number one, you got to be a disciple. You have to do that first. If you don't know Jesus Christ here today, I encourage you. Give him your life. Give up your life and follow him. Number two, you got to be willing to teach, train, and mentor others. All those words are used in the multiplication process. Okay? Teach them about what God's word says. Be the model for them. Train them. But then mentor them, just like I was telling you about the young man this past week that was having real struggles at home. I mean, sometimes you just take truth and you apply it to your circumstance. So help somebody do that. Number three, you entrust your teaching to them. Okay, at some point you're going to say, you know, we've been doing this for a year. It's about time, little birdie, that you hop out of the nest. You need to be pouring into somebody else. And you entrust them with that, but you don't go away. You know, we constantly see Paul going back to those churches that he spent time with. He just doesn't hang out with them all the time anymore. So it's okay to move on, but you need to get them doing the same thing. Number four, walk alongside them as they teach others, just like I'm talking about. And I've given an example of. You walk alongside them. You know, when they shoot you that text message, man, I don't know what to do here. This is a really tough situation. See, you're still helping them become a disciple while they're becoming a disciple maker. Number five, then you repeat the process yourself. Okay, birdie, hop out and fly. You're good. Your wings work. You can do this. And so I find somebody else. See, I freed up that time slot in my schedule. Okay? You don't need to meet with me every day anymore or once a week anymore. But maybe somebody else does that I can help become a disciple maker. So those five things, think about those. Process those. Discover, if you don't know already, where you are in that process. And then as Jesus said, as you be going, make disciples. Who will make disciple makers? Let me pray. We're done. God, thank you today for your word. Thank you for the clarity of it. You know, for some people in this room, it's very encouraging to hear what your word has to say today because they're right in the middle of doing that. You know, there may be others in this room who don't even know you, Jesus Christ. I pray that that is where they start, where they launch. God, there are others who are very much disciples, but they haven't extended being a disciple to becoming a disciple maker and investing in the life of someone else. So God, I hope that's what they heard today, if that's where they are. But wherever you find us today, God, I pray that you take us to that next level of accomplishing becoming disciple makers. And God, we thank you for your word that we can go to it and get these instructions, and that you, as Jesus Christ, who died for us and is the model of who we are following, that God, we can become that model. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of me because I imitate Jesus Christ. God, and we can walk in that confidence that we can do that. So God, I thank you for these people, for these disciples of yours that understand, and God, challenge them with that next level of making disciples. And it's your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We believe in the power of the Word of God. If you made a decision, we would love to hear from you. As well, if you have any questions, let us know at the email listed at the bottom of the screen. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a good day.